Ladies and gentlemen, STK coming at you live, episode 27, taking no prisoners. Tonight, God, it's just the dynamic, another dynamic duo. Got my brother Coach B in the building. What's going on, Coach?
Sir, kind of feeling like LeBron, making a different duo every year, every episode. Now, all is well. That's what's all up. You guys. Appreciate
that's
you.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Shout out to you, bro.
And shout out to you. And, of course, it's Just Heck. We're going to get into it tonight. Play in action started yesterday. If you were living under a rock.
A lot of stuff.
Minnesota beat the Clippers in a thrilling victory that gave off championship vibes. Gave off championship vibes. Shout out to Minnesota. That's what you do when you're young and you ain't really made it to the playoffs, man. You celebrate like that. There's levels to it, man. There's levels.
It's not to get punched the next time you get out there.
Hey, listen, man. It's what it is. You gotta have some enthusiasm with it. You know, I listen. Every young team in history, they get that first W to either to make it in or to, you know, basically the play-in is like a prelude to the playoffs. So, nah, I was with it. I loved it. I loved it. I had no issues with it. And then in that first game, Brooklyn easily handled Cleveland, although it was close towards the end, but it wasn't really close. Like, it was like, okay, you know, it was what it was. But what has been your thoughts so far on the play-in action? Not the playoffs, just the play-in, you know.
Brooklyn took care of business. They're going to need Seth Curry or Patty Mills to play better. You know, just to be that third option to help them a lot. I love the Boston matchup. I think
It's intense.
You know, Marcus Smart being able to limit Kyrie in some capacity. Like, everyone thinks Kyrie is this unstoppable force, which he is. But Marcus Smart is that immovable object, you know, and like
When an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? Another Batman reference? Is that what we're doing? Okay.
So, you know, Marcus Smart getting Defensive Player of the Year consideration, big deal for being a guard and the way he dominates the game in that fashion. And just that, what he can do with his size, like 6'3", 6'4", 225, 230-ish, like, you know, he's going to be able to beat Kyrie up a little bit. And Kyrie has counters on counters, which is great. But it's going to be a fun matchup to see who could impose their will. Because if Kyrie shoots less than 50%, you know, Marcus Smart did his job. And, like that's where it starts. And if Kyrie shoots less than, like, at 40 or less, then Marcus Smart, you know, held it down. Like, you know, he did everything that he could do on his end. And then I definitely think the wing matchup of Tatum and KD is going to be fun. And then Jaylen Brown is that, who's going to guard me? How do I get my baskets? Because Bruce Brown is good, but he's not Jaylen Brown. So, you know. And then if Andre Drummond could score, that changes everything, but I doubt it. And if Ben Simmons plays, then forget it. Pencil him in the finals. We'll see. They still got a lot.
My first question to you is, and I asked this jokingly in our text chain, is Drummond the third star? Does he count as a third star for them?
Yeah, man. Okay. Yeah. Like always at the top of the rebounds, you know.
Former All-Star.
You know, one-time All-Star? I think so.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. One or two.
Double guy. Yeah. So, yeah, until Ben Simmons comes back.
And then he becomes the fourth star?
Yeah. I mean, it isn't terrible. I like his game. He's a decent decision maker. He's been on Shaq than a fool. But, yeah, overall, he's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd be honest with you. the 2-7 matchup this year is very intriguing. It's probably going to be the most exciting of all the playoffs or until the finals, because in the East, it's Boston and BK. And in the West, it's Memphis and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Boston and Brooklyn is like the two powerhouse. It's like, you know, Durant is the guy right now. But Jason Tatum is like the guy in waiting.
Yeah.
And
that battle of.
And they can't stop each other. They can't stop each other. Like, it's, you know, no one's stopping KD right now. But Tatum is equally nasty. Like, he again, last year they played each other and he was dropping buckets. They couldn't do nothing with him. So, I think that series.
Oh, you're trading baskets.
I definitely agree with you in that the series probably comes down to Jaylen Brown and Bruce Brown, where, you know, if Jaylen Brown doesn't have his way in that matchup, it could pose a problem for the Celtics. And if Kyrie isn't slowed down, if Marcus Smart can get Kyrie to shoot like 45%, then that's pretty good. But Kyrie isn't a volume shooter like that. Like, he's
at the moment.
He's high IQ right now. Yeah. And I like the way you say it, at the moment, because he's pretty high IQ. Like, a lot of his shots come at his comfortability level. Yeah. He'll know, like
the 15 assists and the 11 assists, cool. Mm-hmm. But again, like, it's a young Cleveland team, you know, against a
definitely.
That knows your sets a lot more because they played you 4 times this year. You know, they played you last year in the playoffs. So.
And then we have that other matchup in the West, it's Memphis and Minnesota. And to me, that's like a grown-up AAU game. Like, I don't – listen, it is not going to be like a playoff game. It's going to be like roll the ball out and who gets busiest most. And because, both, you know, to me, in my opinion, you got two teams who are not experienced. They don't really get playoff basketball. They don't get that it's possession by possession.
Yeah, and Pat Bev needs you, but the way the adrenaline is going to be flowing, like, they're just going up and down. And, yeah, like –
Pat Bev's a maniac. Like,
should be a lot of buckets. And
like, Josh, Pat,
40.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards might get 40. Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Like,
it's one of those things where it's gonna be. I'm gonna love it, man. I hope it goes 7 games, but it probably won't. I hope it does, man, because that's, to me, is probably going to be more exciting just because of the youth factor, you know.
Yeah.
You got John Morant, who is probably going to snag a couple of MVP votes. And then you got Edwards, who's up and coming. Like, he, you know, and his mentality, he's got to kill his mentality.
That's it.
And so, man, he's got to kill his mentality. So I think that is an interesting matchup. And, you know, it's the rest of the playoffs. I think I'm happy that the playoffs are here. It's saddening a little bit for me that the Knicks aren't in it, because it, you know, New York, it's springtime, it's rocking, you know, the chance to be able to get lucky and get playoff tickets. It's not going to happen. They got to wait a whole year, or not a whole year, but a couple months for the next season to start. But, you know, you had a list of topics that were pretty dope.
Yes.
And so, starter of the year award. Explain that one. And are we talking about the Knicks, or are we talking about the league?
I mean, you know, for the home team, okay. Like, it's like, we had a lot of changes, you know. Tibbs,
mm-hmm,
obviously ran the same horses for a long time, but then people started getting hurt. You know, we had a few COVID call outs. things like that. So, like, definitely, and just like gelling between the different leaders, I guess, at whatever point, you know, whether it be RJ or Kemba or Julius Randle bringing the ball up, there's definitely has to be someone that stood out amongst the rest. And obviously, like, I don't know if anybody's been watching, Julius Randle is not going to get this award. You know, he's just not kind of a leader.
Who gets this award from you?
I want to say RJ, but like his shooting percentages are just like dropped drastically.
Okay.
I was like from the three, from 40 last year to 34 from three. So like, yes, he took a big step as far as like points per game and like rebounds are solid, but not like overwhelmed as far as like where he should be as a star. So like not just being a starter, but being a star. So that's his fault. Well, I mean, that's the issue. Like, he's still developing. So okay. I'm going to give it to Alec Burks, man. Like, I think that for all that Tibbs like tried to do with this group, he adjusted, you know, especially when he got thrusted in there. He shot 40% from three. Right. He had, I think, like a three to one assist to turnover ratio. And he was charged, you know, with guarding other guards. So, like, if you're a 40% shooter at the guard and you're stopping other – or you're defending other guys, like, it didn't translate too much. But, you know, like, once things started rolling, you know, we went on a little one. And, like, you could give it to Fournier, but he struggled a bit. His points are better. He didn't do enough as far as his contract is concerned.
You're being controversial tonight.
Yo, as far as like for your dollar, like getting bang for your buck, man. Like, who else was supposed to come back? He didn't give us nothing. Derrick Rose didn't give us nothing. Like, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna win Alec Burks, man.
All right. I mean, it's intriguing. I mean, the highest PER on the team was Mitch Robinson with 20.7. But I think it's RJ. I think his growth into becoming a leader, despite all of the turmoil that was going around in the background noise, and him being like the lone guy, especially down the stretch, and him with the accolades, you know, one of the three youngest players.
So like, whose fault is it that he didn't have the ball rolling from the jump? Quote unquote, he was sick, he was under the weather. Julius Randle.
That's the coach. I mean, and in all honesty, when the Knicks played Boston in that first game, Julius looked like top three power forward in the league. Like, he killed in that game. So, I mean, I think the ball should have been in his hands. But when you got to make adjustments and you got to start, so you also have to start integrating players. And again, you know, RJ, his PR is low, 13-7. The average 20, a flat 20, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. His game, you know, his turnover ratio is not great, but he's making strides to get better. And I don't know, he's the future, you know. And I don't know, Alec Burks, I just saw too much him missing wide open players and him being like, "Yo, my bad." And it's like, how many times are you gonna do that again?
Yeah, that's on the fly. Like, I'm sorry Kimba didn't work out. Kimba, it's not your fault. But, you know, Burks got thrusted in and he had to adjust the fly. He also led the team in total steals. But, Julius Randle led the team in points, rebounds, total points, rebounds, and assists.
Definitely. And he 20.1. He edged out RJ.
Yeah,
for the scoring lead.
He's a train. I'm sorry.
No, he is. I mean, he's on his way up. I think if he's there another year, the Knicks management does not know what it's doing. And
yeah, Julius Randle meditate.
I get what you can for him now before it's really down in the dumps. Because you have to develop RJ. In my mind, RJ has to be the guy that is developed. He has, you know, like you have to develop. And he can score now. He has belief that he can be in the league. So now you work on those other areas, and he has the talent to do so. He's not, you know, he's not a fly-by-night kind of dude. This dude was the best college player in the country at one point. Until Zion exploded, but yeah, you know,
Alec Burks, solid job. You shot 40% from the field too, but at least you shot 40% from three. You led the team in steals and a 3-1 a 3-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Okay.
No, I'll take those.
So your next topic was season long MVP. So I don't know what you mean by that. So are we talking about the NBA or are we talking about the Knicks?
Solidly, solely on the home team. You know, like okay. We got this bum record because of this guy. Like playing through all of it, and
so who's your season long MVP? Because I'm curious. You got Alec Burks as your starter of the year award. That sounds like your MVP to me.
But, nah, man. Like,
okay, so who's your,
this?
Where are we going with this? I'm getting nervous. Where are we going?
This kid, you know, stood on the floor and made adjustments and closed out strong. Like, yo, again, Julius Randle don't get no awards for being such a trauma, all right? But quickly, man, Emmanuel quickly, like,
okay.
Yeah, Evan Fournier could get, you know, up here as, like, being a decent plug-in starter. But, like, for quickly to just stay consistent and continue to grow at the same time, it's like he had some lows, but it was never bad to, like, oh, should we trade him? Or should we send him down to the G League? It was just like, you know, a little bumps in the road. First start a few games where D Rose, then not having Rose, you know, being that main guard off the bench, then making the adjustment from Kemba to Alec Burks and fitting in Fournier and like playing well with Julius Randle and playing well with RJ Barrett. Like, you know, that's definitely like a major key. So he fits in with everybody. You know, he makes life easier for those big guys, Sims, Mitch, Taj a little bit, Obi. Like having that connection with all those guys, yeah, quickly is like he's the keeper. Like if I like outside of RJ, like quickly the keeper because you know he knows how to get the easy baskets for the easy guys, and you know and he gets out of the other guards' way.
So. Okay, so. Clearview Daniel, shout out to Clearview. Clearview disagrees. he thinks the whole team MVP should be RJ. I tend to agree again. But I get your points. I actually didn't see it the way you saw it. And yeah, you're right. We mean he got inconsistent playing time and still managed to sort of stay consistent. I think it's a tough award to give out on a losing team. But I think if I had to pick the shining star, especially the last stretch of the season, I mean, to me it was RJ. I see your point. I definitely don't disagree with what
we had to wait context. Till February. We had to wait till February.
Because it's definitely the
greatest of him, and I
definitely
think
true.
Through.
But the key guy was always RJ down the stretch, man. I mean, I don't know. I just
he got work to do. Fourth quarter scoring. Like Quick had what 10 points in like 6 to 8 games in one stretch. Mm-hmm. As far as like fourth quarter scoring, so you know little things like that.
But quickly, he's not drawing the double team. RJ's drawing the double team.
He's in the fourth quarter. Double man.
It's RJ and Julius. They're the ones getting the attention.
RJ's not getting double. Yay, he's attacking the paint and kicking it out.
And with homeboy on Philly kind of torching him, he was torching him the whole season.
Yeah, you know he's not playing you know, he's still pretty solid, and he closed out strong. Those triple doubles. Triple doubles was not icing on the cake.
Okay.
They're a lot more fun.
Yeah.
When he's doing what he's doing compared to what RJ's doing. Like,
yeah.
He has a smooth game compared to, I'm sorry, RJ, you're just stiff. You're not all the way there yet. Like the shooting percentages, both of you shooting percentages have to get better, but I hate to see. I'm not a fan of how he gets it done, but RJ does get it done.
Okay. If you had to pick a league MVP, who would your league MVP be?
I want Embiid to get it because I feel like this might be his only chance.
But who do you think really deserves the MVP? Who do you think really deserves it?
Are the Bucks number one, right? No, the Bucks are not number one. Never mind.
Not in the whole NBA. No, not at all. Bucks are third. But they have the same record as the 76ers. They just won the tiebreak.
Yeah. It's a toss-up, man. You could give it to Jokic for being as spectacular as he was. You could give it to Ja. Like, you know, being the main guy.
He's not ready yet. I disagree with that.
Listen, number two.
Plus, his team plays better. His team plays better when he doesn't play.
He still dominated the season for when he's out there.
He dominated his team too.
Like
which showed when they played better.
No, number not being two, there. Plus, the guy on the team,
17-2 when you're not there.
Not most valuable to me. That has a lot to say about good coaching, but
he's gonna get some votes though. I don't disagree. I think he played tremendously. But if I had to pick, and I'm just picking off of stats and not just the optic, but the optics also, if you want to really put it to it. Embiid had Harden. Embiid had power. Embiid had star power. Well, okay. Later on.
Yeah, he went on a long stretch. But
Jokic has been without two of his guys the whole season and still led the Nuggets to 48 wins. And if you look at his metrics, 27 points, 14 rebounds, and I'm rounding up. I'm just rounding up. 27 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 1.5 steals, and a little under a block a game. That is insane. That is 2K22 numbers.
It is insane. Well, I feel like MVP goes to the guys that are closer to the top, man. So.
But Embiid, do you think the 76ers would be as successful in the West? Come on.
It don't matter where he play. He does what he does with where he's at. Don't be mad at him because he got drafted by such and such team. Don't be mad at him because he's on such and such roster.
Just saying. I mean.
I'm holding on to Embiid, man. I was trying to.
that's the feel good story, but it's the feel good story, but in truth,
Philly don't even need it. I think this would be the only time he gets it.
Just from a center standpoint, at that, and he was carrying a bunch of rookies, and I mean, I don't know, man.
He'll be back next year. His team will have a better record. This is as good as it's gonna get.
Okay.
I don't really getting better than this. Doc Rivers gotta go.
Okay. Fair enough. I think we can agree. I mean, listen, if Embiid won it, I would not if Embiid won it, I would not be mad at that either. Because Embiid has been an unstoppable force at his position. And outside of the analytics, he is, to me, I mean, he's the best center. And it's a close race. Like, between him and Jokic, it's very, very close. But I edge it to Embiid, and it's, like, by a split hair, right? It's because, you know, I've seen Jokic turn it on, and I didn't really respect him until that bubble series against the Lakers. I thought they were going to punk him the whole series. And that first game, he got angry and ran off like 12 straight points. And I was like, oh, this kid is for real. Like, okay. Like, and then continue to do that. So, I mean, it's very, very close. And if Embiid won it, kudos to him. Just like if Giannis won it, I think I wouldn't be mad at it either. Those aren't winners that I would be like, this is a sham. You know? Clearview thinks that it's Giannis because he's taken for granted, which I do agree with. I think when you're that level of greatness and you just do it consistently, it's like, oh, he had 30, 12, 2 blocks and 2 steals and 5 assists. Oh, okay, cool. If anybody else did that, you'd be like, oh my God. Like, you know, but
he's number one, you know, like it'd be a no brainer. What could due to the fact?
But he finished higher than Embiid, though. His team's in a better position than Embiid.
Yeah, but Embiid.
Listen, I get it. And Clearview's choice is Embiid. Shout out to Clearview. His choice is Embiid. He wants Embiid to win. I wouldn't be mad at that. I honestly, if he won it, I'd be like, good job. Good shit. It's well deserved. I think this is the tightest race for the MVP that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
It's very tight. It's very tight because analytically, Jokic is the clear winner. But from the optics, Embiid is just so dominant. And then Giannis is just consistent. Like, it's just every night. He's not had a bad game and I don't know how long. And it's like, damn. Like,
Trae Young is sneaking some votes. Total points and total assists. Yeah. Trae Young is about to sneak in some votes too, man.
Yeah. Who?
Trae Young. He's gonna sneak a lot of votes.
I don't think so. I think
total points and total assists.
I think it's a tough 3-man race. And I think maybe Ja steals a vote here and there. I think he gets a couple votes. I think he gets like 3 points, 3-4 points. Just because his team was just so successful when he wasn't there. And right, you could count it up to good coaching. But if you look at like the magnitude of his playing, and then I've watched them play without him, and the ball moves better. It moves a lot better when he's not there. And I used to think, oh, they needed him to create. They don't need him to create. Like, it just flows better. Like, they look.
We'll see.
A tough matchup without him there.
When that playoff matchup starts. You know, the game slows down. You got to get your guy going.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane is good.
Right,
totally. I don't know if he got it in the tank yet. Dylan Brooks is good. I don't know if he got it in the tank yet. Triple J, Jaren Jackson.
He
can't enough for a full series to like warrant taking it home.
They're young.
Ja's about to earn his keep.
I mean, he's been earning his keep though. I think I think the team just matured. And they kept the core. They all get along, and they're a really happy-go-lucky bunch, and they play for each other. And I think that's what makes them successful, regardless of who's playing. Whether if Jai ain't in there, it's like, okay, we still going. And that makes them dangerous to a certain extent. Makes them super dangerous, but playoff basketball is different. It's different in all, you know, in every form. So, it is, you know.
And last Jokic note, he's shooting 58%. That's like 8 points better than Embiid and Giannis. And he's shooting, he's never shot below 50% in his career. And he's never shot 80% from the free throw line in his career so far.
It's three really great players, man. It's a tough choice. Like I had to, because, you know, initially I was like, oh, this is easy. This is a B. And then I looked at Jokic's stats. I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is not an easy vote. Like, the media is going to – it's going to be tough on them this year, man, because – you got three guys that can clearly win it. That can clearly win it. That they're head and shoulders above the rest of the people that you would you'd want to consider. Okay. I think Trey is even considered, he gets one vote. And it'll be like a fourth place vote. His record, their record, they're in the play-in. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, he might get a consideration from a media staff person in Atlanta, if that. But, you know, I think in all fairness, those votes got to go to those three guys, and it's got to be between those three guys. You know, if Ja Morant gets a vote, cool. I mean, you know, he played well, but I think his year is next year or the year after. I honestly believe that. I think his years are coming. He's just scratched the surface of how good he could be, which is scary. Very scary for the league.
Yeah, they're athletes, man. Stop getting hurt, yo.
Yeah.
Lillard,
take care of your body. Put money in your body. No. it's right. So you have, okay, so this one was simple. The worst contract of this year. Oh, man. Who do you think is the worst contract of the year?
Derrick Rose never came back, and Nerlens Noel Nerlens Noel got it. Like, he was supposed to be that the guy. Shout out to the rookies for stepping up.
Yeah, but, I would agree. I mean, by far. Yeah, it never panned out, and it seemed like a great move. I agree. I honestly agree. I mean, you could. It's either Derrick Rose or Nerlens, but I would say Nerlens just because he did so well last year, and the expectation was that he would come, you know, like they would kind of repeat that. He just couldn't get healthy. And, you know, that might be the thing with him. Like, he has a good year, then he gets hurt, then he comes back, has a good year, gets hurt again. I mean, it's, trade him. Get rid of him. Trade him while you can.
It'll be a lot of shopping, man.
Yeah. You got, you know, pieces that, exactly. Hey, listen, you know who always takes the Knicks players?
Dallas.
Dallas Mavericks. And Jokic does wonders with them. He'd be like, yo, why he ain't do that on the Knicks?
Ridiculous.
Man, listen, yes, super ridiculous. Who are you not shopping?
Personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Cam has to work out.
Kevin, Cam Reddish?
Yeah.
Cam
Reddish.
Like, but Kevin, I don't think with this coach. I don't think with this coach it happens.
Yeah, like, I just feel like Cam Reddish, like, has to work out. Like, long term. I'm holding on to the potential. He's
good, man.
He's somewhere. Really, Rudy Gay.
And he's like, good. So, like, kid can play. Yeah, that kid can play, man. And he's not getting a shot.
And then it's like, I hate the whole the Duke factor and no potential Zion, but like if they can make it happen, why not hold on to him and try to make it happen? You know?
Who are you trading if Zion becomes a thing, a real thing?
Everyone.
Because it kind of looks.
Everyone not named RJ quickly. Move. Man, Obi, like, I hate to see you go, but.
Yeah, it's Zion. They yeah. play in the same position. Like,
yeah, so everyone not named RJ quickly. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, you got to keep Cam for that purpose. And mm-hmm. even like, the Jericho Sims-Mitch situation, you know, one of them could stay, one of them could go.
Yeah.
I think the front office might do a good job of replacing either or. So.
I think an honorable mention for bad contract has to be Kemba as well. An honorable mention.
It wasn't even that bad. Well, how much did he get?
8.7.
Sorry. It's not his fault he didn't play. Tibbs ain't wanting to play. Like, Derrick Rose never came back, and Tibbs still couldn't find minutes for Kemba Walker.
Like, hey, that was crazy.
You know what? All you fans that are out there hating on my boy, the big BX, and you know, like, nah, man, yo, Kemba, rest up. I hope you kill. Hope he comes to have 50. Like, hold on. Like, somebody let him go off. Like, oh, yeah, you're going back to the Garden tonight. Do your thing.
Like, let him off the leash, right?
Every basket, just look over at Tibbs. Like,
and do you know what's crazy about that statement? Is the fact that he might still be the Knicks coach starting the season.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And in all honesty, he's been the biggest liability of the whole season. His lack of adjustments. Like, he's playing, you know what I'm saying? Like the lack of ability to tailor an offense around your player's skill set. You know, like you got guys that run. You know what I'm saying? Like, borrow from somebody. Look at old Suns tapes. They're just running. Run. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Thibodeau.
Yeah, yo, it's just like, dude, you gotta get creative. Like, look at your guys. You got young thoroughbreds who wanna run, and you're stifling them in a half-court set.
Like, I get it. Julius Randle got your coach of the year. But at some point, you gotta start counting easy baskets. You gotta start counting tough shots. You gotta start counting the field goal percentages. Like, what brand of basketball are we watching, man? Like,
it's not even 90s. It's just low IQ.
This ain't a highlight reel. Like, I want to see some easy baskets.
Yeah, it's just really low IQ basketball that people were playing. And
how right?
And I felt bad for the youth that they're like trying to figure out this stagnant offense, and in their heads they're like, this is just not working. But they got a coach over there that's like, rotate, you know, in his stupid Tibbs voice. You got to rotate it. All this dumb shit that he said.
27% field goal percentage. 27th in the league in field goal percentage, 43.7%. 26th in the league in scoring, 106 points per game. Like, Tom, this is a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
And we were eighth in turnovers, which is great. Like, how do you not turn the ball over? And you, like, you just can't score.
Yeah, it was just bad. It was bad. It's just the coach's inability to create something or to even reach out.
You know, well, even borrow lineups in place where it's just like, all right, we're running.
Right.
You gotta get more. We're running.
Definitely.
There's no reason that Julius Randle, 35 minutes, 41% field goal shooting. Like, no star player, no go-to guy should be shooting that low.
Definitely.
RJ Barrett, 40.8% field goal percentage. Sorry, RJ. You sucked on that. All the points are cool. Until you get that shooting percentage, you don't get no awards from me. Evan Fournier, supposed to be a shooter. 41.7% field goal percentage. 38 from three, but still, like, you can't get a layup. You can't shoot twos. Like, that's ugly.
Right.
Derrick Rose, 44. You only played 26 games. Alec Burks, even though he shot 40 from three, 39%. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus. Kemba, 40%. Emmanuel Quickley, 39.2%. guess who's the next guy? 17 minutes per game, shooting 53%.
Obi. Right? It's Obi, right? Open.
He missed another team. Sign, sale, delivered. Make Obi the go-to guy, and then we'll figure the rest out later.
You know,
that
you,
is madness, man.
You know what's crazy?
Robinson.
He would do very well in Phoenix. He would just be.
You yourself. We gotta be. No way.
He would do very well in Phoenix. I'll be honest with you, because it's or Golden State, like a team that just free flows, pace and space, gets out on the break, because that's what you need him to do. Like he scored 42 points in that final game, and it was just like, this is the Obi that you could have probably saw.
I'm gonna I gotta start looping that on my YouTube. I'm just let that joint play. I'm letting the last game play continuously to next season.
Cliff, you said worst contract of this year. Anything that pays Tibbs from Ed Weiss. I agree. In fact, you know what? Nerlens Noel, you get the honorable mention. Coach Tibbs is the worst contract by far. I agree. Clearview, you are a very wise man. So, the final topic, and these were some great topics, by the way. Great job, because I wasn't sure. I was going to talk playoff basketball tonight, but it came in the clutch, as always. Came in the clutch. So, we're talking the draft, right? So, I'm on my favorite favorite website, yes. NBADraft.net. If you're ever looking at AAU ballers, college ballers,
overseas,
you're looking at overseas guys, this is your site. And they do mock drafts. They got future mock drafts. They got all of the drafts from the past. This is an amazing site. I hope it gets the traffic it deserves because, you know, and they've been following guys like Edwards and Jalen Green for years. Like when they were in sophomores in high school, this site was definitely educating people. So if we're talking about the Knicks, right? So the Knicks, so for this year's mock draft, they got the Knicks picking 12th. Honestly, I'm kind of hoping Ty Washington kind of falls to them, or maybe you know, Ty Washington is amazing. Like he would be.
He can't save his life.
But you need a distributor, my brother. Everybody else can shoot. You need a distributor, and he's a distributor.
Tibbs is gonna find a way to mess it up.
Very true. Very true. Honestly, I mean. This is a year where Jaden Ivey kind of sprang to the top. And Jaden Ivey's good, but
he's solid. He's not a pro guard. He's not an NBA point guard. Yeah. He's a great guard. He's a pro guard. He's not an NBA point guard. Point guard. I don't think his athleticism does well.
He's a shooting guard to me, number one. And number two, I just don't see him as – like, if this was last year, he'd be – in the mid round, be honest with you. Like, to me, in my opinion, if you're looking at last year's draft to this year's draft, he would be a mid rounder. And this year, the talent is just, I mean, it's all projects. Chet Holmgren, project. He has to eat. by the way, Clearview, and get ready for this, coach. Brace yourself. Or maybe not, because I think you might agree. But Daniel Clearview said, call me crazy, but I see more upside in Obi than Zion. What do you think?
You know what? I do not like embracing players that are not playing. Like, yo, he's not on the court. He's useless.
Yeah.
But
Zion's healthy?
Zion is shifty.
Yeah.
He's strong. He has vision. Like, Zion never looked as nervous as Obi looked, you know, when Tibbs put him out there. Yeah. Zion never looked like that. So, his ceiling seems
When he's healthy,
a smidge higher,
yeah,
based off his athleticism and his confidence. Yeah. But Obi's ability to score,
yeah,
like just being able to like just go out there and get it done. They both need that in between game. You know, like everything is not going to be a strong finish. Everything is not going to be a three.
Yeah.
But I think Zion at this moment has more moves whenever he gets back out there, being able to spin.
I mean,
and slip and slide.
I mean, it's an opinion. I think Obi is going to get paid in this league. I think he has definite upside.
Obi's floor might be a slightly higher, but Zion's ceiling
at this point.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, because Zion's on the bench looking a bit chunky, and we don't know if that's right. if that's in revolt
like
of getting off the Pelicans or
the guy looked like an all-star before he got hurt.
Yeah. Totally.
Again.
Yeah. Definitely. And he might just be he might just be trying to get out of New Orleans.
Sad.
You know?
But
that's the culture. That's the culture now that we deal with. But getting back to the draft, to be honest with you, I just don't see
trade down. Yeah, go to the full list.
Yeah, I just don't see. That's next year. Shout out to Victor Wembanyama, by the way. Dope Frenchman. That Frenchman, you know, he's got to put on some weight, but that kid's got some moves. But you know, if you're looking at the full draft, it's not a lot. And I mean, it's a lot of projects. I mean, Jaden Hardy, decent. Nikola Jovic is an interesting prospect. Max Christie, shout out to the Christie family, of course. Sorry. Kennedy Chandler is another guy who can play. Caleb Love, another guy. G Montero.
Not a fan of Caleb Love.
No?
I mean, he's great, but he has a lot of Jaden Ivey, kind of.
Mm-hmm. You know, totally. I agree.
Good at attacking, not the best facilitator. But in open space, yeah, you know, should be able to play well. I'm not going to say dominate because dominating is a thing. So
yeah,
he should be able to play well.
Like if you've been watching Kendall Brown of Baylor, had somewhat of a solid year. But the rest of these guys, like Orlando Robinson, he's cool, but he's a project. Mark Williams, he's a project.
Yeah.
Shaedon Sharpe, he's good. But if this was last year, he'd be a late first round draft pick. You know?
Yeah, we'll see how workout goes. And it's like they come in with like so much skill. I just need to see who has the vision, you know, who has the voice.
Jordan Hall of St. Joseph. I mean, they got him going to the second round. Michael Foster of the G League. Michael Foster is a strong kid. Yeah. Iverson Molinar. You got some guys that, you know, like that really, you know, Gabe Brown of Michigan State, Patrick Baldwin. Wow, he's falling to the second round. He was a high draft pick at one point.
He came out strong early on in the season.
Yeah.
Faced the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, free his own shot.
I would say Patrick Baldwin should probably stay in college another year.
I mean,
but he's probably trying to get that bag, though.
Exactly.
I'm trying to blame him. But
that's a sleeper, but there's a lot of trade-offs. Like, do you want to be the man or do you know you want to figure out how to fend for yourself?
Yeah. Cause I mean, he go like hypothetically speaking, if he goes to Indiana, I mean, as a second round draft pick, you got 1 year that's guaranteed, and that's it.
Summer league, G League, you know, a lot of these guys make it.
Yeah, it's a gamble. I think a kid like Patrick Baldwin could probably benefit from another year. What's another year? You know what I mean? Like you're not looking, you know, you're not. And the good thing is that they can test the waters without, you know, so a lot of this may change. But Patrick Baldwin.
NIL deals. You know,
if it's not a first, like if you're not in the first, right now in the first 30, why bounce around and struggle? Like, you know, listen, you re-up that meal card, go to the calf, you get those, you know what I'm saying? Get those greasy burgers.
Make calls, get some more endorsements.
Exactly. You can get some money in college, you know, like just do your thing. Like, you know. Definitely. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just not a good draft, man. And I don't see
the Knicks are like definitely trading down again seems perfect to me.
Who would you want on the Knicks?
Actually, time out. Don't trade down. Trade out.
Trade out. Like, yeah. You got
Deuce. You know, you got Grimes. Yeah. You got Jericho Sims. You got RJ still. You got Quickly. You got Obi. You know, it's like 5-6 guys already that need to be in your rotation. So trade out. Package this pick. Package Mitch if you don't want to keep him. Package Julius Randle at all costs. You know, I'm sorry, Julius.
Yeah.
You know, appreciate
that. That would pull something. That would actually pull a good player.
You know, like at the very least, get a veteran guard that's going to play defense and man the situation as well. So, like.
Yeah, totally.
And the Tyus Jones of the world, you know, if you could sneak, you could or even Trey at this point, if you could sneak Anthony Simons away, you know, that'd be clutch. If you could sneak and get Terry Rozier, you know, that'd be clutch. And then like if you could get Colin Sexton, like that'd be clutch. And at least we're trying something out and then we're minimizing like the rotation guys. So package up. Well, these assets, you know, shout out to shout out to Mr. Rose because we got some assets.
So these are upcoming free agents, 2022. I mean, you know, you got some guys with player options.
I take Rubio.
Would you though? I mean,
yeah. At this point, yeah.
Okay. I mean. I'm looking at anybody.
Oh, look at Tyus Jones.
You know.
Tyus Jones, ladies and gentlemen. that's the best we can do at the moment.
You know, I mean, it's just, I don't think the Knicks have a bad team, man. I think they just have bad coaching. I think it comes down, like, any of these guys, you plug them in, and I don't think they do as good as if they went to another team. It's just the optic. We got a guy that just doesn't.
Scary thoughts, man. It is scary hours out here when you think about who you bring in. As long as Tibbs is coach,
right?
Yeah, you know we're gonna.
It's bad, man. It's
pandemic
a bad,
over. Like, yeah, basketball's back.
It's defeating. It's really what it is. It's defeating because you're like, you want to be able to like hope that you can get a guy and it'll come in and it's going to change things. But Tibbs is the immovable object. he is the immovable object in all this. And no matter what you got, because you're definitely right. I agree. Why do you need to add more youth? Trade this pick and Julius, and if you could package Mitch and get either a quality four or a quality
We're not going to get anything of equal value. So it's like
no. But quality,
you got to find that that diamond in the rough. You know that.
I think Lillard. Isn't a stretch anymore. I think that's a possibility. That's a strong possibility now. Because especially when Portland wants to move him.
That's not bad, but like.
The number 12 pick, a quality four, Julius and Mitch. Come on. You're back in the playoffs next year if you're Portland. Let's be real. You're back in the playoffs because they got the right kind of coach.
Yo, Chauncey, yeah. Hell no.
Yeah. Nah, without a doubt. They got the right kind of coach out there. It makes sense. If that's shooting for the stars too much, I mean, there's plenty of guys out there that you can make a move for that you know, that's close to that value, because that's a great trade for a lot of teams.
If the Spurs were thinking about starting, Pop, you could retire. Let Julius be somebody else's headache. Like, just blow up the whole team at this point. And I'll take DeJounte Murray.
Oh man.
If at all possible. You could have everyone that we named. Kemba, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, the pick. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Call it a day.
But I think the major move has to be Tibbs. And if they don't get rid of him, I just don't see prosperity in the future.
If the Bucks do not win, I pray Drew Holiday is available. I pray.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a bad.
He's a solid player.
But Julius on Milwaukee would be kind of scary, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's a scary prospect.
And give him
coming off the bench, or he starts at the five. Oh yeah, I mean he most likely come off the bench, but him coming off the bench for them, that's a scary prospect. Because as much of the slack that we're giving Julius, he's not a bad player. He can't be the focal point. I always think back to when KD was on, on CJ McCollum's podcast. This was like 2 years ago, right? And I mean, KD did him dirty on his own podcast. He was like, y'all not beating us, like, cut it out. Hey, he was right. Like, Portland, they think they swept them that year, or it wasn't a matchup. But he told him, he was like, yo, CJ, you would be a great six man. CJ's like, oh, what are you talking about? I'm getting 100 mil. And KD's like, see, that's the issue with people in this league. He's like, guys think that they're better than what they are. He's like, and I'm not trying to diss you, because you are good. He said, but you ain't, you know, you would be a great six man. On a great team, you'd be a great six man. You'd win a chip, you know, and that's what we're talking about, right? And you know, Julius would be a great six man on a winning team.
Julius Randle off the bench. Your understudy is ready. Free Obi is no longer. That's it. It's done. He's free now.
Yeah, totally, man. I don't know, but. Either way, my brother, this has been a great show. I appreciate you for making it.
Super producers.
Shout out to Ed Dollars and Wall Street Heck. You know, Ed couldn't make it. He's en route back to the States. Wall Street
and the safe.
Called out sick, using his sick days. So yeah, we'll holler at you, Wall Street. But you know what I'm saying? But shout out to you coming in the clutch. Shout out to everybody watching. Shout out to Clearview Daniel. Clearview's parting quote, Tibbs will find more creative ways to blow games.
It is sad, sad, sad.
It's sad that we're even saying that, right? Because that's real. It's a real thing. You know, just shout out to basketball, playoff basketball, man. And, woo! You know, listen, it's STK, surviving the Knicks.
And
this is what we do.
Knicks fans, you made it through the season. You're looking forward to the draft. You're looking forward to summer league.
There you
What's
another season, right? What's another
year of our lives.
What's another season, right? You know, like, but listen, next year. And on that note, we thank y'all for watching. Yes. We hope wish you guys all well. Take care, be safe.
Happy wherever Easter. You are. Blessed to all those families from Brooklyn and Definitely. You know, all the bad things we got going on out here, that bomb in downtown. Someone else got stabbed today. Like,
seriously?
Madness is like ridiculous. So please be safe.
Yeah, be safe out there. You know?
Easter.
Stay safe and stay on point. You know? Stay on point, man, because there's a lot of stuff going on out there in New York City we're talking about. But wherever you are, we hope that whether you're in the tri-state or you're beyond, we wish you well. And man, stay tuned. Next week, we should be at full strength. We got great, you know, great playoff matchups that we're going to be talking about. Unfortunately, they will not include the New York Knicks, but they will include the Brooklyn Nets. So
that's the last time we'll say their name for tonight. I gave him a lot of props already. Back on the heat, friend.
Deservedly so. Deservedly so. But fellas, fella, my brother from another, Coach B, take care. Y'all have a great night, man. And we see y'all next time.